This week on Ham Nation, Gordo fries a turkey with some radio. George has a brand new favorite soldering iron. Some really good news from Dr. T and her solar update you need to see. I did an interview with Raisa on her YouTube channel all about ham radio fun. And last but not least, we interview Rhea N2RJ, the ARRL director. Stay tuned for Ham Nation.
Ham Nation is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by LastPass. Give your IT and security leaders control of password security with the award-winning LastPass. Visit lastpass.com/twit to find out how they can help you.
This is Ham Nation, episode 481, November 25th, 2020. Thanksgiving with ARRL Director Rhea N2RJ.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is George W5JDX here with Ham Nation tonight. Bob Heil and Don Wilbanks won't be with us this week. They're out doing the Thanksgiving thing, but we still have some great people lined up tonight. First, out on the left coast is Gordon West. Hi, Gordo.
Well, hi there, George. And we're going to have a fun time tonight because we're going to take everybody to the beach. George?
Oh, wow. Yeah, your beach Thanksgivings are always a special treat each year. So we'll be looking forward to that, Gordo. We've also got with us tonight Val. Hi, Val. How are you?
I'm doing great. Had a good time this weekend in the sweepstakes. Got to work Amanda. I see in the chat room I worked Whiskey One Delta Golf Lima. So it was a lot of fun to work everybody in the U.S. This weekend coming up, big contest, CQ Worldwide, CW. 48 hours, starts Friday night, goes through Sunday night, and you can easily work 100 countries in this contest. So make sure you get on the air. Even if your CW is not that good, by the end of the weekend it will be. So back to you, George.
Wow, yeah, that'd be a quick way to get to 100 there, I guess, if you can do CW. And also tonight, we've got our old friend K7AGE, Randy, with us. Hi, Randy. How are you?
Hi there. Hi. I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing tonight? It's good to be on here.
Well, good to see you as well. Well, on to the show tonight. I am going to show you a little bit later. The rumors are true. I have a new favorite soldering iron I'm proud to show off. So we'll be looking at that a little later in the show tonight. But first, Gordo's got some, well, I don't know. What have you got this week? I haven't been able to watch it yet.
Okay, George. And we're all anticipating your soldering iron. We hope it's not that blowtorch we saw on one of the first episodes. Well, let's go ahead and see what's going to happen tomorrow. And I want to wish everybody a very safe and a very happy Thanksgiving Day. Wear those masks, protect of everything. And we're going to head for the beach where hopefully it won't be too crowded and we can do a beach turkey and, most important, get on the air with Ham Radio. Victor? Well, as you can see here, the beach is not really that crowded. In fact, where we're going is the same spot we've been doing it for almost 20 years. Chip Margelli, K7JA, Janet Margelli, KL7MF, Susie, N6GLF, my better half, and me, Gordo, WB6NOA. We will be on the air with a portable setup. You can look for us on 10 meters, and holy smoly, was 10 meters hot today and a little bit yesterday. Today, wow, you'll have no problem if the band cooperates for one more day working us on the beach. Look for us just above 28,400, probably about 28,425. And as we get set up, you'll also find us on the 20-meter band at probably around 14,280, plus or minus 5. Well, when we first get to the beach, we get there nice and early. It's no problem finding a fire pit. And we get things starting to set up. But, of course, we have to have our Happy Thanksgiving little banner there. And as we begin to get things set up and the canopies up, we're hoping for no wind, although the National Weather Service and the local weather service is saying it's going to blow like a mama. So Chip says no problem. We will get our military masts firmly planted. Now, we always learn things, and the way you keep from boogering up the end of the military mast, and by the way, they're not too hard to pound into this sand, is you take a piece of wood and hit that with a mallet. Never use a mallet directly on the part, because we got to slip in the section to what's sticking up at about 4 feet. And when you've got about a 25-foot mast atop of it, you got to really wiggle around to get it in there. And if there's one burr, you'll never get it apart. Chip usually does all his own home brewing. This will probably be the same one we've used a couple of years ago with new additions to it. That's the 10-meter antenna, and of course that's directional. And if you look above that, you'll see a black mast, and that's going to be 20 meters, and that again is home brew, and that will give us two bands of operation just in case of 10's not hopping, but we really think it's going to be. To protect the equipment, ideally we would use one of these cases. And hams, if you're ever out there and you see one of these cases, grab it, because they make great ways to protect your equipment from blowing sand or dust. And here we're down at the beach, and boy, I tell you, you get sand into an optical shaft encoder, and it's cooked. It'll be more expensive fixing it than getting a whole new radio. So make sure that you're well prepared. There you see a little solar panel. That'll do just about 1 amp as long as there's nothing shading it. Everything's in series on that panel. There's a setup that I use. That's a Yaesu radio below, but it's a military version for our Coast Guard auxiliary work on NTIA channels. And the ICOM 706, the venerable 706. And we can operate this absolutely portable. The little panel above it maybe will give us 400 milliamps on a nice sunny day. So it's there just to sort of make things happen. Our setup will include directional capability on 10 meters and a dipole, which Chip has homebrewed for the 20-meter band. And I hope to be mobile on 40 meters as well. And first thing we do is, after we've got the masts all together, is to do a quick radio check. And we'll probably do that about 11 o'clock California time, which will be 12:12 on the East Coast, where unfortunately you guys are going to get, and girls are going to get, pelted with rain. But that's our setup. We got the panel. We have a BioNO, about a 20-amp-hour battery, and those batteries are amazing in that they hold strong all the way until about 90% depleted at about 13.4 volts, and then they decay down to 12.8, and that's it. But with the solar panel, I don't think we're going to do that much yakking. Well, as we're getting everything tuned up, the ladies are getting everything turned on when it comes to the turkey. And here we have the vegetable oil going into the big pot. And once it comes up to a brew, it's time to take Mr. Turkey And very slowly, and you maybe saw some of the news today of someone just dropping it in there. The hot oil goes down to the flames below it, and the whole thing explodes. Very slowly, we put it into the oil. So remember that tomorrow, those of you doing it this way, very slowly drop that bird in. Janet is making calculations as to how much time will be needed. So during the time that the turkey is doing its thing, Chip is warming up. Accomplished CW operator will be on both CW as well as voice. Won't bring the computer down, so you won't find us on FT8, but look for us in the voice portion of the band, and now and then Chip will be down there pounding a little bit of brass. Well, after a few hours or so, the turkey's ready, and very slowly we pull it out of that boiling oil, and now it's time to feast. And as you can see, the ladies are getting a head start on feasting, and believe me, it's one of the best turkeys on the sand that we've ever had and will always have. In fact, it smelled so good that the local state police that patrols the beaches, their state lifeguards, came by just to watch what he was doing on the radio, but more to smell the great smelling dinner that was brewing. And there you see some of the batteries on the left-hand side of the table. And Chip just smiled at them and said, yes, we're federally licensed. And they go, oh, yeah, we know we're a technician class operator, and we just like to see you every year down here at the Huntington State Beach. And, of course, the bonfire keeps things brewing. And as you could tell, there was not much left in between working a lot of you folks on high frequency. Suze and I have completely cleaned up the plates. So we hope all of you will have an opportunity tomorrow beside your turkey dinner to say hi to us. Again, look for us just above 28400. 28.425 is going to be where we'll try and start. And on the 20-meter band, 14280, a little up or a little down in case there's a scheduled net on that frequency. We always try and find an open spot. And we'll try and work both bands, and we hope to work many of you on the air from the beach. And then after about 4 o'clock, that's when the wind is supposed to pick up. But no problem. We've got a nice big fire going here. And while there's not enough sun to really keep the solar panel paneling, nonetheless, we'll be able to stay on the air all the way down to darkness. So from tomorrow on the beach, we hope to hear you on 28425, up or down 5, or 14280, and we're going to wish you all a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. So, George, I know you're celebrating a lot because I can see by the backdrop you are ready. Here's George and maybe ICOM America as well.
Ham for the holidays. ICOM's newest handheld amateur radio is the ID52A. Larger radio, larger color display, and louder audio. This VHF-UHF digital transceiver is much more than a replacement for the ID51A. The color display is 2.3 inches for exceptional viewability, and the audio is 80% louder. This multifunction dual-band D-Star transceiver supports DR mode for easy access to local repeaters based on internal GPS information, as well as terminal and access point modes. The ID52A also has Bluetooth for audio and data control. The IC705 is the perfect sidekick for hams who like to enjoy what both the great indoors and outdoors have to offer. It's the perfect QRP companion. Base station features and functionalities at the tips of your fingers in a portable package covering HF, 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. This compact rig weighs in just over 2 pounds with RF direct sampling for most of the HF band and IF sampling for frequencies above 25 megahertz. 4.3-inch color touchscreen with live band scope and waterfall. 5 watts with the BP272, 10 watts with 13.8 volt DC external, single sideband, CW, AM, FM, as well as full D-Star functions. Visit iComAmerica.com/amateur for more information on iCom radios. And iCom invites you to enter after each episode of Ham Nation at iComAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, and learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For November, that new radio is the iCom ID5100A dual band, dual watch D-Star transceiver. It's got an intuitive touchscreen interface, DVDV and FMDV dual watch receivers, built-in GPS, DV and FM near me repeater list functions. There's an optional Bluetooth module available and downloadable Android apps. So visit iComAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And thanks, iCom, for sponsoring Ham Nation. Well, you know, it's that time of year again where people are roasting or smoking their turkeys. And I found in years past, it is difficult to properly cook a turkey with a 40-watt soldering iron. So this week, I'm stepping it up with a 70-watt. But anyway, yeah, I've got a new soldering station. Let's take a look at that.
You may recall recently I was named Homebrew Hero of 2020. Along with that honor comes a number of prizes as well. One of those prizes is this right here. It's the HECO FX888D soldering station. This was donated courtesy of Eric Guth, 4Z1UG of QSO Today Podcast and Virtual Expo. I had never used one of these before. I've seen them becoming popular in recent years. What I've used for the majority of my soldering experience is the old Weller WLC100. Now, I've got this one. I have one just like it at work. Well, I say just like it. These have changed a little over the years. This is a model from probably around, I don't know, the late 1990s. The newer ones have a AC outlet on the side of it where you plug in the soldering iron itself. And this is essentially just more or less like a light dimmer. It's just a circuit that controls the voltage and current going to this soldering iron here. This one has been good. It has worked extremely well for a $50 soldering station over the years. But it's beginning to show its age. You can see that I've already had to replace the lighted switch in it with an old switch. Came out of a computer power supply. And I put an LED on it since I no longer had a lighted switch. But now it is starting to crack right here where you have the screw that holds in the tips. The reason that I stuck with this iron so long is because it was a variable temperature there and I got used to where to set it. And you can find tips readily available for it. Well, I've been satisfied with it, but now we're going to move it over. We're not throwing it away, but I've got a new soldering station here. The HECO FX888D is a step above. I really didn't realize how much difference there was. This is just over $100. You can find them for that price. It's very heavy. The old Weller did not have a transformer in it. Obviously, this one does. That explains the weight. It uses a DIN connector to connect the soldering iron to the station. And that means that there are temperature sensors and thermostat controls along with this. The other one actually controlled the temperature, but there was no feedback from the iron as to what the tip temperature was. This one, there is. The handle is smaller. I didn't know if I would like that or not, but now that I've used it for a few weeks, I do kind of like that. The holder part here is weighted as well. It comes with the metal scrubber in there where you can clean solder off a tip. And, you know, it's a little bit abrasive, so it kind of polishes the tip a little better as well. And it's got a sponge on it. This one's a little bit different. It had two notches here that you push out, and you take those and you set them in the bottom here. And this is a little reservoir that holds the water. You set the sponge on top, and when you put water in it, of course it soaks into the sponge, but a little bit goes down into the reservoir, and those little pieces of sponge help wick it up to keep that sponge moist longer. You can get multiple sizes of tips for these, and I did. As a matter of fact, that's the first thing I did after I got it and decided that I liked it. I ordered a set of tips because you need a tip for the job that you're going to do. I bought a large tip for heavy jobs, and you can even solder a PL259 with this size tip right here and enough power, and the soldering station has plenty of power to do that. The next size I have is the one that's currently in the iron right now. You can see that most of the ones I bought are flat on two sides and then kind of rounded on the corners. I just kind of like that because that lets you get maximum heat transferred down to the PC board or whatever you're soldering with. This is a general purpose tip. I think this is the one that will live in this iron most of the time. I bought a size down from that. Same style of tip, just a little bit smaller. This would be fine for PC boards, although you could use that for larger PC board components. Then I got much smaller. This one will be better for smaller printed circuit board work, maybe even some large surface mount components. This one would be good for surface mount right here. You can see how small that tip is. It is round as well. And this one is tiny. That's the one you're going to want for the really small surface mount work. And these seem to be good quality tips. They are heavy material. They tend well when I tin them up. They came pre-tinned. Of course, I like to tin them with my own solder. These were pre-tanned with lead-free solder. Of course, I like to use lead solder, so I re-tinned them all once I got them. Let's turn it on. Hit the switch on the side. And you'll notice it starts ramping up pretty quick there. It doesn't take long at all for this to reach the temperature that you've set it on. And we're at 600 degrees, which is where I left this one. So this thing heats up a little quicker than that old Weller I had did. And so far, I am really liking this one. It does a nice job. Lightweight, got a nice temperature range on it, anywhere from 120 to 899 degrees Fahrenheit. That'll tackle most of the things that I want to do. And the stability is plus or minus 1.8 degree Fahrenheit. This iron is perfect for static-sensitive jobs, and it is grounded. It does have a power transformer in it. You can change the temperature in it by pressing the button there and then running the temperature up to wherever you want it to be. We'll drop it 50 degrees there. Now we're at 550. And it's got to drop back down to that temperature because it was at 600. Now, there are presets in this iron as well, so you can set several temperatures that you'll commonly use in there and step between them a little quicker. All in all, I've got to give the Hakko FX888D a 10 on a 1 to 10 scale. An excellent soldering station. I know I'm going to enjoy this for years. And I thank Eric for donating that. And we'll be seeing more of this in the future.
I got to say, I really like it. And I like my Weller, and I've used a number of different Wellers over the years. They're very good, too. This is just a little more modern, and I like the fact that it comes up the temperature really fast and that I can have some presets programmed into it. And having 70 watts doesn't hurt either. Well, that's it for me for this week. I do want to mention, if you're looking for something to do on Black Friday in the evening, why not join Professor Thomas and Dean Martin over at Ham College? You can find that live.amateurlogic.tv at 8 Central Standard Time, 0200 UTC. We'll be having the next episode there, and we're studying for the extra exam. So drop in Friday night after you're finished with your Black Friday shopping, or maybe if you didn't even go, we'll have some questions for you because there will be a test. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and I'll see you again in 2 weeks. But right now, you know what happens every week at this time? It's time for a little shot of the news, and guess who's got the best amateur radio news going? Don Wilbanks.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2247, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. Our top story this week is the launch of the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule from the Kennedy Space Center. On board, a crew of four, all amateur radio operators.
Seated inside the SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule, astronauts Michael Hopkins, KF5LJG, Victor Glover, KI5BKC, Shannon Walker, KD5DXB, and Japanese Space Agency astronaut Soichi Noguchi, KD5TVP, comprise the first fully operational mission for the private SpaceX company. The Falcon 9 rocket launched with the capsule named Resilience at 7:27 p.m. Sunday night. The quartet's 27-hour journey marked the second manned launch of the Crew Dragon from Florida's Kennedy Space Center. The four amateur radio operators are expected to remain on the ISS for the next 6 months. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Hams, if you love experimenting, and who doesn't, this might just be something you get involved in. HamSci, the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, needs amateurs around the world who can help collect propagation data during the eclipse happening across South America December 14th. To do this, you'll need to have a computer connected to your HF radio. Hams are being asked to record data between the 9th and 16th of December so that there's plenty of control data gathered for this experiment. There will be two 24-hour practice runs beforehand, one on the 21st of November, the other on the 5th of December. Visit the Newsline website at arnewsline.org to find the link to the webpage containing further details about the experiment. Instructions are in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. If you're interested in signing up, contact Christina Collins at kd8oxt@case.edu. Finally this week in Colorado, one radio operator who has as much heart as holiday spirit is reprising a role he played once many years ago. Only this time, he's going on the air to make it happen.
It's been a long time since Chuck K0ITP put on a Santa suit. That was years ago at an event at a country club in Peoria, Illinois. This year, however, the president of the Long Mount Amateur Radio Club in Colorado is hopping back on the sleigh to bring Santa to children via amateur radio. He plans to be on the air on the club repeaters between 6 and 7 p.m. Mountain Time on December 1st through the 5th. Licensed hams are invited to share their shack with a youngster, perhaps a child or grandchild, who will likely be missing out on some of the traditional events or seeing Santa in person because of the COVID-19 precautions. Chuck says he will make sure they still have a chance to talk to Santa by getting on the air with a licensed amateur. Chuck told the local newspaper, the Times Call, that the club is hosting this event for the first time because members are also hoping to give children an early holiday gift, the gift of an interest in amateur radio. He said it will give parents a chance to hear what their kids want to find under the tree. Local hams can visit the club website for repeater information at w0eno.org. The repeaters are also on Echolink node 8305. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org.
With Dave Parks, WB8ODF, Jack Parker, W8ISH, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's a solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We are in the midst of a paradigm shift in space weather this week, and our sun is getting busy. As we take a look at the front side disk, look at all the bright regions. There's so many I can hardly keep track of them. We have 2783 in the south, 2784 in the north, and we have region 2785 and 86 just beginning to rotate into Earth view off of the sun's east limb. Back on the 22nd, we had multiple solar storms. Neither of them were Earth-directed, but one came from region 2783 and a northern filament eruption that came off near region 2784 in the north. Both of those went east of us, so we didn't really have any issues with those. But then on the 24th, wham! Look at that monster that launched off of region 2785 and 86, that whole region in there. That one is also not Earth-directed, but it's a bit larger. And I tell you, all of these bright regions have now boosted the solar flux up past 100, which means we can actually say radio propagation on Earth's day side is in the good range. Oh my gosh, when was the last time I was actually able to say that? So we are back in the green when it comes to radio propagation, and it looks like some of the regions on the sun's far side are going to keep it really close to that range. So we're going to be good news here. We also have aurora photographers had this coronal hole that gave us some fast solar wind just over the past couple days, and that brought us up to storm levels, and we got some decent aurora, especially at high latitudes and even a skosh down to mid latitudes. So we are definitely keeping busy with all of these regions. It's hard to know where to look anymore. And this is just the front side sun. As we take a look at our far sided sun, this is stereo A, and we're looking at the sun pretty much from the side. You can see regions 2783 and 2784 as they rotate off of the sun's west limb in stereo's view. You see regions 2785 and 86 basically in the middle of stereo's view. Look how massive that cluster is. And they have been firing off solar storms like crazy. Now, that's not all it, though. Take a look past them. We've got two more regions, both in the north and in the south. One of them, maybe both of them, will get new designations here over the next few days as they rotate into view. But that's not all. Take a look past it. In the south, on the sun's west limb or east limb, you can't even see this eruption yet, but take a look. Whammo! Right there! Blam! Did you see that? That is a massive solar storm launch from a region we can't even see yet. And in coronagraphs, this region, look at it. Ready? Bam! Right there. Look how massive that big solar storm is launching on the sun's far side. So this region we're going to be very excited about because it's launching very strong solar storms. And not only may it be a solar storm producer, but it also may be the first M-flare player we've seen in quite some time. For more details on this week's space weather, including how all this new solar activity might affect space traffic and might affect you, come check out my channel or see me at spaceweatherwoman.com.
Now that's a solar report I like to hear. And you know, 10 is hopping, so you're going to be able to work Gordo tomorrow on 10 meters pretty easily. I was able to get to Malawi and work them on 10 meters. So 10 is looking really good right now. Hey guys, Valerie NV9L, long time no see. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Tonight, I have a wonderful interview. Actually, we've got two. But my first one is with Raisa, Romeo 1, Bravo Italy Golf. And for those of you who don't know who she is, she's burning up the YouTube charts. She's climbing and getting a lot of views on her channel. And one thing she does, there's so many ham radio YouTube channels out there, and they get more technical and do a lot of how-tos. And she actually goes out and about and does all the different aspects of ham radio and shows the fun side of ham radio. So if you're looking for a little departure on the how-tos and all the technical stuff, this is a great channel to see what amateur radio is all about. So on with the interview. So welcome, Raisa, Romeo 1, Bravo Italy Golf. I understand that's a brand new call. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us here today.
And thank you very much for inviting me.
You're welcome. So why don't you tell everyone how you got started in amateur radio or what brought you to this hobby?
Oh, I started 2 years ago when we built in the Finland the antenna. It was in May 2018, and I had my first cursor. And I immediately captivate of this hobby, and I like it very much. And I thought it will be wonderful to share with people with this hobby. It is really fantastic hobby. And after that, it was in May. I started to prepare for my exam. For my first exam, and I passed it in December 2018. That's why I am two. I am a ham operator during 2 years. Now, recently, I passed my next exam, and I had a second category, and I had a new call. I was UB1 AOA, United Bravo 1 Alpha Oscar Alpha, and now I Radio 1 Bravo India Golf, and I'm very happy with my new call sign.
That one is very easy to remember, so that's a good call sign. And there's, you know, I just love this hobby, and there are so many aspects to this hobby. So what is your favorite part of the hobby?
Yes, you are right. So many very interesting aspects. In the beginning, I want to try some different parts. For example, I experienced flora and fauna program and lighthouse program. And I also like contesting. I was the part of VPX contest and CQWW contest, and it is really exciting time. Of course, now during this summer, I worked portable a lot, and it is a very nice combination doing the hobby and enjoying the nature. It's really very cool.
Very good. Yeah, it just keeps growing and you try new things. And I mean, it's just, I mean, I like the public service and I like the contesting as well. So we have a lot in common there. So,
yes.
Now I know you do these videos and they're very, very good, very, very nicely done. And it's really good to bring people in. So why don't you kind of tell about all the different things you do on your video on your YouTube channel?
I thought that there are many videos in YouTube with the technical part of aspects of our hobby. And there are no information about very simple steps in the hobby. For example, how to organize and to be a portable working and so on. And there are not so many emotions. And I want to show the people that it is a very, very exciting hobby. And I want to show this emotion and that it is not only technical hobby. Yes, for women, it can be very, very interesting. If you like communicate with the people, it is really very, very good. And that's I decided to show my way in ham radio. Of course, I cannot teach something because there are many very experienced hams who knows more than I. But I want to show only my way, and maybe it can be interesting to other people, and way will be interesting to our hobby, and we'll go to teach and to prepare to the exam. This is my idea.
Well, and you just make it seem less intimidating, and I think that's what keeps a lot of YLs away from this hobby. They think it's so technical. But you show the fun side and how you can have fun with it, and it doesn't have to be technical. And so I think that's why I enjoy your channel. So thank you for that. If people want to find and subscribe to your YouTube channel, what is the name of your YouTube channel? And I'll put a link up here for everyone as well.
YouTube channel, YL Raisa, young lady YL Raisa. And you can find all my videos there are. And you can look the difference between my first video and now. I hope it stayed a little bit more interesting. There are one video I want to attend it you on this. It is how to spell our phonetic, our letters in Russian phonetic alphabet. It can be interesting if you want to use Russian words with the Soviet Russian stations. And of course, it can be helpful during the contest to work with Russian station and to get to the points, more points.
Yeah, get through the pile up, anything that can help, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I saw that one on your Russian phonetic alphabet. That was a really good video. Yeah. I think that's the one that my husband first saw that mm-hmm. drew us to your channel. So I understand you also have a website. What can people find on your website, and what is your website?
It is very easy. Raisa, Romeo Alpha India Sierra Alpha dot blog.
And you sort of blog about the hobby on that yes. website as well.
Yes, yes.
So that's very good. So you're hitting all the different forms of media to get the word out. So now do you have a Facebook and Twitter handle as well?
Yeah. Facebook, it is a special page also called YL Raisa. These all opportunities have a little bit different information. It can be interesting for people. For example, if they don't use Facebook or Instagram, they can read the information about my website or in YouTube. But the information, there are a little bit difference.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for what you're doing to the hobby and helping to promote this hobby and showing the fun side of the hobby, which I think hopefully will attract more YLs to the hobby, which we need. So, yes. Raisa, I appreciate your coming on tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It is a really great pleasure for me. I want to wish everyone enjoying our hobby. I hope one day I will visit USA and we will meet each other. And once more, thank you very much for your invitation. It's a great pleasure for me. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. And maybe I'll see you at a hamvention one of these years once that's back.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, that's a must do. So thank you very much.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by LastPass. Now, we know that you can't trust your most valuable data with just any company. That's why LastPass has been Twit's choice for identity and access management. But Twit's not the only one. LastPass has been named a leader in the G2 Fall Grid Reports. That's a leading peer-to-peer review site that provides unbiased user reviews on leading software solutions. Of the 746 customers that left user reviews, 93% of LastPass users rated them 4 or 5 stars. So what is it that makes LastPass so unique and vital for your business? IT and security leaders can take back control of password security. They'll have the control they need from a central dashboard. Businesses can customize admin privileges, ensuring that any given admin has only the right level of access. You'll gain company-wide visibility that shows you actual progress. And no matter your organization's source of truth, LastPass integrates to onboard users, sync groups, and revoke access. LastPass allows actionable insight for admins. Access security scores. You can see real-time readouts of your business password hygiene and track improvements over time. Review audit reports, build compliance, and maintain accountability with detailed reporting logs that tie actions to individuals. And for every employee, you can view their password scores, gain access to shared accounts, monitor group memberships, and more. Your company can enable and require MFA. Make logging into different sites simple and easy while still being secure. And the built-in password generator creates long, randomized passwords that protect against hacking. And employees can easily and securely share passwords, notes, and other sensitive information through LastPass. Leverage over 100 policies and advanced security features, or use their out-of-the-box configurations for a balance between security and convenience. LastPass has won 8 awards so far this year. They're PC Mag's Editor's Choice. They won the Fortress Cybersecurity Award and their Business Insider's Best Overall Password Manager, just to name a few. Let the award-winning LastPass help you take back control of password security. Go to LastPass.com/twit. That's LastPass.com/twit.
Okay, and thank you. That was a pretty neat interview there, Val. And, you know, Dr. T talked about the solar flux being around 100. I have a ham clock running on a Pi behind me, and it says 104, and I'm seeing those same images of the sun there that she was showing. So tonight we have another person here we'd like to introduce to Ham Nation. It's Reha Jaran, N2RJ. Good evening, Reha.
Good evening. It's Reha.
Rhea, I'm sorry.
no worries. It's better than what I usually get, which is Rita or Maria.
Oh, okay. I'm so glad that you joined us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, you had a kind of interesting start in your ham radio career, you know, being from somewhere outside of the United States. I wonder if you'd fill us in a little bit of what got you interested in ham radio and what it took to get your license.
So, as I've told people, I've always been a nerd ever since childhood. And my dad introduced me to shortwave listening when I was like 5 or 6. And we also had a Commodore 64 computer. And that was a really nice thing because it allowed me to, you know, just sit and experiment and go for hours. And that kind of had a spark. But what really got me pushed into amateur radio, like, you know, not pushed, I would say gently encouraged, but I had Tony Limack, NY4 Alpha Lima, and he was just absolutely wonderful. I mean, you know, he, it's because of him that I decided to immediately after I got my license, I decided to teach people and show them everything I know because, you know, the way he paid it forward, I want to be like him. Unfortunately, he's silent key now, but he really, really got that spark. As far as the process in Trinidad, it's not like in the United States where you have volunteer examiners and you walk in and you test for free in some cases. There you had to take the British exam because there were no local exams, and you had to pay, I think it was 60 British pounds, which worked out to about $600 in their currency, and for, you know, a teenager, that's a lot of money. So you do that. You have up to 2 chances a year to pass it because the testing centers run it only twice a year. And you wait 3 to 6 months for the results, and then you take the results slip up to the telecommunications office. They don't have Morse code anymore. They didn't have Morse code at the time. It was optional. I took the Morse code exam because I wanted to, you know, to do that because I felt like, you know what, it's something I wanted to try at least. And I got my first call sign, 9 Yankee 4 Romeo Juliet. And then I also got a my first contact with 9 Yankee 4 Fox Papa, really nice guy, Fitzroy Peters. He lived in the south part of the country where I was from. So, yeah, so that's my interesting beginning in the hobby.
Well, it was kind of a challenge to and to do all that. So that's pretty neat, sir. So that's what your passion for the hobby. I see that you have a blog and you've been doing some YouTube videos and doing a Q&A. And, you know, what really, you know, excites you about the hobby?
So I have pretty much tried a lot of popular things at one time or the other. Right now, my main, you know, mainstays in a hobby are DXing and contesting, where I enjoy working a DXCC program, right? You know, getting the DXCC numbers and getting the challenge. And I have DXCC from 160 to 10. And I also enjoy the contesting. I'm a member of Frankfurt Radio Club, contest club. They're pretty awesome group. And the thing I always tell people is that even if you're not really into contesting, seek out a contest club, because the kind of mentoring they give you is second to none. I mean, you know, you'll find it in other places, but contesters are driven to win. And the fact that they're driven to win means that they invest a lot of time in getting members. So that is my passion. I also dabble in DMR and D-Star and other things. You know, like I said, I try a little bit of everything. I started the YouTube videos because I felt like my Elmers, I had to pay it forward to. And, you know, I figured a lot of people are spending a lot of time home in the, during the pandemic. And we're probably, you know, I'm hoping we don't head there again. But I'm hoping that if we are home, that people could at least learn something, that, you know, I'll be able to show them something from my point of view. And I try to make it simple for both complex and basic topics.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty neat. So then you've gone on to be a director at the ARL. How did that happen?
let me put it nicely. So, no, there's a lot of reasons I went for it. So I credit a few people with actually encouraging me. John Crivelli, W2GD, he was very upset at what was going on in the league in terms of the direction they were taking. So after talking to him and talking to a number of other of my friends, I kind of, you know, made up my mind, you know what, let me at least, you know, ask some of the current officials what's going on. My division director showed up at one of our holiday parties in the North Jersey DX Association, and I questioned him about some of his actions, and I didn't get a satisfactory answer from him. And I asked him flat out, I said, you have an election coming up, who's running against you? I said, let me support him or her. And then he asked, are you going to run against me? And I said, that doesn't sound like such a bad idea. I'll think about it. It was another encourager, so to speak, Steve Bloom, KL7SB. He came to visit New York, where I was working at the time. I was working at a large media company in New York. And they, you know, I was actually going to leave them. And he met me on my last day there. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I'm leaving. Maybe I should pursue this director thing. And then Steve said, you'd be perfect. You're going to shake it up. You know, you're not the typical, stereotypical radio amateur. You'll do well. So I made up my mind there and then. I requested the paperwork from Dan at the ARRL, and I was off to the races.
Ah, very good. Well, you know, stir them up. I think that needs a little shaking up at times. Well, we have Amanda and Val would like to join us here now, and they probably have a couple things to ask you, too.
Sure.
Hi, yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
And I don't think it was mentioned, Rhea, so if you don't mind, there's two. I'm going to put this in one question and two, whatever. First of all, you know, you had mentioned another country, so I don't think you mentioned where it was you're from. So I think our viewers would love to know. And second, we'd love to know what your background is. What do you do for a living? Those kind of things. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. So I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago, which is the southernmost islands in the tropical Caribbean. 10 degrees above the equator. It's hot every day of the year. And it's really beautiful beaches and such like that. And, you know, we have a very vibrant ham radio community there. It's small, but it's vibrant. And, you know, a lot of the guys, they send me pictures and they want me to do a YouTube video on their activities. And when this, you know, this whole health crisis is over, I want to go visit. But my background. So currently I do software and systems engineering in the financial industry. Like I mentioned, I worked in media, you know, for a large cable news network, and I actually did a lot of their internet technologies. So, you know, the podcast, the streaming, that kind of stuff. And that was kind of what helped me along in getting my YouTube and other stuff going. So,
Ria is actually trying to say is that she's smarter than most of us, especially all of us in the chat room. She actually is very smart. You talk a lot about your flex your SDR activities and stuff, and I really love to follow you on Facebook to learn more about those things. So we really appreciate that. And I think I'm not sure if you were done, so go ahead, continue.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I got a double E from NYU School of Engineering in Brooklyn, New York. They're a really, really nice school. Ted Rappaport and 9NB, he used to run a wireless research facility there. I think he retired from it. But no, I'm not, you know what, I'm just an average ham. And I fully admit there are a lot of people smarter than me. So, you know, I'm always learning. Everybody's always learning. And, but I must admit I'm very good with the techie stuff.
We all need those. And we all need the person. And I think you're in the right role being a director to help people achieve more and move above and beyond and learn some new things, even hooking up a hotspot. I can see that happening with you and you helping just anybody, whether they're in your division or not. And so to speak about the ARRL and what they do for us, one of the real big things that's been in conversation lately, you know, you've been everywhere, you see all of these blogs or just chats and forums, the FCC's proposal on the $50 license fee. Now, it's funny you brought it up. In your earlier years, you already paid a license fee once, £60, to get licensed. How do you feel about that now with the FCC and the $50?
You want to know something? It's for a teenager, like I mentioned, it's a huge cash outlay. And especially somebody whose parents really weren't willing to fund ham radio. And I had nobody else to, you know, to do that. I had to save the money. I did odd jobs working in computer stores. And I think really that this really is the core of the argument against that fee that the FCC wants to charge, is that what if another kid went to ham radio and, he or she, you know, is impeded by this fee? You know, that'll discourage not only people, you know, you hear a lot in ham radio about emergency communications and stuff like that. That's a great part. But, you know, you have people who, like you had Wael Raisa earlier, she engages in international goodwill, which is another part of basis and purpose. You have people who get into engineering careers. People say it doesn't happen anymore. That's not true. There are a lot of people getting into wireless engineering. I just bought a new iPhone with 5G on it. This thing is marvelous. So, you know, it really is something that, and I think the ARRL made a good argument that we should at the very least, exempt it for those under 26 years old, because, you know, that's kind of the cutoff for somebody being a youth versus being a full adult, sort of, they're out of college. Apart from that, the ARRL doesn't just fight for us. They actually provide a lot of value for membership. We have the technical information service. We have wonderful technical coordinators like my friend Alan Wolk, W2AEW. He does a lot of technical presentations and stuff. And, you know, the ARRL really does a lot of good for ham radio. Of course, they have their problems, but they're not things that can be not solved. And which is, you know, one of the reasons why I became a director.
Absolutely. And Val, I'm going to send it over. Thank you so much for answering my questions, Ria, by the way. And thanks for being here. Val, I'm going to send it over to you and let you ask some questions.
Well, you kind of just started into that, Ria. So that's a good segue, because I wanted to, you know, I know when I ran too, when I saw the membership numbers, I was kind of appalled on how low the membership numbers are compared to how many hams out there. So I know there's a lot of our viewers out there that probably are not ARRL members. So I'm hoping you can help kind of sell the value of what ARRL brings to this hobby. And for you guys out there, it really is a valuable place to belong and join, because they are going to help us maintain our frequency. So if you want to kind of tell all the benefits people can get when they join, that would be great. And if you have any other announcements coming out down the pike from the ARRL, anything fun to share, go right ahead.
So I do think definitely that, you know, we've had some our challenges with the leadership and such, right? We recently elected a new CEO, and David, full disclosure, I went and I talked to him a lot early on, and I was really pumped when he decided that he was going to, you know, apply for a job. So as far as membership benefits of the ARRL goes, apart from you're up from one magazine included in your membership to now you're getting four magazines, right? You're getting QSD, you're getting On the Air, you're getting QEX and NCJ all included in your membership now. So that's up from one magazine, you're getting four. You also get discounts for going electronic only. You get, you know, that we raise the age for the discounts for youth. You get a discounted life membership. So all of these are talking about, you know, their common complaint people had was the dues are too high. And it does cost a certain amount of money to run the league. But at the same time, you know, we thought we could give some loyal members a break and incentivize some people. I mentioned the TIS is another good one. You have also the volunteer council where you get a free consultation with a lawyer, an attorney, if you've ever faced any antenna zoning or other issues. Let's say you get a traffic ticket for having a ham radio in your vehicle. You can call a volunteer council and get a free first consultation because ARRL has that agreement with them. And, you know, there are also things that are coming down the pike, like the lifelong learning is in heavy development right now, and David is pushing that along big time. Initially, it was just going to be courses, but, you know, they're going to have some other content too. And a spoiler alert, they're talking with some big names in terms of ham radio content. So you're going to see some big popular names that you see on YouTube and other places making content for the league. So, you know, the league is definitely going to be amping up the membership benefits.
And how much is an annual membership for someone wanting to join?
So right now it's $49.99. And, you know, there is a break. I think it's over 70. And there's also like there's the blind rate is I think like $10, and there are other membership breaks. I became a life member because, you know, I just wanted to not forget to renew.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for all you do. And this is sort of a rhetorical question. How do you do it? I know you have young kids at home, you're working, you do, I mean, you amaze me. And I really thank you for doing what you're doing for the hobby.
Thank you, Val. And you know what? I wouldn't be able to do it without the support of you guys. Thank you very much. 73.
And 33.
33, yes.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. That was great to have you on here. And I think that pretty much wraps up the pre-Thanksgiving Eve Ham Nation show. So, Val and Amanda, any other closing words here tonight?
Oh, yeah. No one gets away on a Thanksgiving episode without telling everybody what they're thankful for. So I'll go around the table. Rhea, I'll put you on the spot first.
I'm thankful to have great Elmers like Tony Lee Mack, 9Y4 Alpha Lima, Silent Key, and Steve Mendelson, W2ML, Silent Key. I'm thankful that I had him in my life.
Thank you, Rhea. Val?
I'm really thankful for my husband, my family, and that everybody's safe. My uncle had COVID. He was in the hospital in intensive care. He's 81 in a wheelchair, and he just got released. So I'm very happy about that my whole family is safe. And I just love this hobby. I'm so glad I found it. Wish I found it sooner, but I'm glad I found it. And so I'm thankful for all of you guys. I'm thankful for the show. It's too much to go on. I could go on for on and on and on. Go back to you.
So, Randy, what about you?
Oh, I'm just thankful. I'm healthy and safe. Been staying away from so many activities here, and just staying home a lot. But thankful that everything's going well, and all my friends here with Ham Radio and the local clubs are doing great, even though we're not able to meet. A lot of more activity and a lot of people getting on the air and stuff. So that's what I'm thankful for, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of us say every year at the dinner table on Thanksgiving that we're thankful for our health. I think this year, that is tripled, doubled, quadrupled. So, yes, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my whole Ham Nation family. First of all, Bob, especially for getting us all together and getting us on this program, and of course, Twit. But I'm very thankful for my real family as well, and just thankful for Ham Radio, because during this lockdown quarantine situation, I don't know what I would do with all of my free time. And this has really gotten me on the air to get me more active and getting me involved in things I wouldn't typically be involved in, or just reaching out there to make sure everyone else is okay. So, all right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're going to wrap things up here. I'm just going to go over the nets for this evening. We have a 40-meter net on 71.92. And we have the 75-meter net on 38.10, I believe. Listen, there's been a little bit of QRM there, so find Steve W7UDI up or down from that. And then we have D-Star on 14, Charlie, and DMR on 31.012. So with that, Valerie, I'm going to send it over to you to wrap this show up, young lady.
So thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I am Ant Pruitt, host at Twit TV. Got a question for you. Have you gotten tired of how bad your photos are looking every time you post them to Instagram? Better yet, have you gotten yourself a new camera and you can't quite figure out why the images just don't look that good? Well, I have a solution for you. It's my show, Hands-On Photography. Each and every Thursday, I sit down to share different tips and tricks that are going to help make you a better photographer and a better post processor. So subscribe today at twit.tv/hop to learn more.